Welcome. Nice to have you with us. Sarada and Marciano in the afternoon.
Hello.
I go out this morning and I can't find the newspapers in the snow. So I'm digging and kicking snow around and moving snow around and freezing and
I know why you couldn't find them.
You don't know why I couldn't find them.
I do know why you couldn't find them.
Why?
Because I think they purposely waited late to deliver them because I saw them on top of the snow, neatly stacked, late.
That's exactly what happened. Usually they're out there early, and I'm thinking, no, they got to be here by now, but a plow came down the street, and so we had this snow bank at the end of our driveway, and then with all the other snow, I'm thinking, well, it's under here somewhere, so I'm trying to figure out, let's see, where do they usually land on the driveway, these papers, and I'm out there for 15 minutes, then I give up, and then later I come down and see them. You're mm-hmm. right. They came late.
They came late. They wisely came late. I don't know if they did that on purpose or if they just couldn't get down the street. You know what's very funny is that there, I don't even know the name of it, but our daughter says that there's an app that she has on her phone that says the probability of schools closing every day.
According to who?
You put in the town where you live, and then it tells you what are the chances. So last night, she said, Mom, there's a 99% chance that school will be closed.
Of course the kids would love that app, and I'll be on it, right?
And they go by that app. Well, we didn't have to have any schools closing here, but I am still laughing at the announcement that was made by the school staff, the principal at Stevens Elementary School in, where is this? It is not here. It's on the East Coast, I believe.
Yeah, I don't remember. I saw this morning, too, and it's a very funny video. And
we'll post it on our Facebook page.
Is it the
page.
Principal? Who is on the video?
It's the principal and, you know, somebody, maybe it's the vice principal. One principal took matters into his own hands and made a hysterically and totally clever video. We can listen to it. This is how they announced over the phone. What they did is this is the message that all the parents got on the phone. Let's listen to it.
Hello, Stevens parents. This is Mr. Detweiler. Well, here it is, another entertaining school closing message. We just got a call, breaking news, school is closed, sorry parents for another day. Watch out for frostbiting, very, very frightening. School is canceled,
school is canceled,
school is canceled,
school is canceled.
School is canceled.
Because it's cold.
So everyone grab a Snuggie and watch TV, or play the Wii, and maybe read. That's my boys and girls, we are canceled for tomorrow.
Somebody likes Queen.
I love that. Grab a Snuggie, play the Wii, and maybe read.
That's funny. So they recorded. That was the recording parents got?
That was, yeah. You know that automatic recording that you get?
Yeah.
That was very funny.
But if I got that video
of that as they're recording it.
And that's up on Facebook.com/Sarada Marciano.
Burlington, Kentucky, by the way.
That's where the Stevens School is. If I got that call, though, I'd think, wait a minute, this is a hoax.
No, you wouldn't, because you would recognize the phone number. And if you used your contacts on your phone, you would already have it listed as what it is.
Mark that, note that, 1217, and the first insult has been thrown my way. The first criticism.
I did not criticize you.
The first marital critique.
No, I said.
What was that then?
No, I said if you had it on your phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You think about that for a while. Our holistic doctor, Peter Van Uhl, will be joining us at about 1:05 to talk about your health and things you need to know. Paul Green talks politics. We get the professor's take on the big story about Vinenko and Kochman and the Dan Webb report that was released yesterday. We'll get his take on that. I want to ask him, too, about the Bill O'Reilly, Barack Obama interview. That and more coming up at about 12:35 today. And we have those Barry Gibb tickets and another mystery song snippet.
Hmm.
If you identify it and you're the first caller in to do so, you get tickets to the Barry Gibb concert. And also, I've got an idea on how to give away some auto show tickets. That's coming up. I'm pretty sure I did something very stupid in connection with the car today, which reminds me, if you've got a dumb car story, we've got these auto show tickets to give away. That'd be a good way to give away these tickets. If you come up with a good, it's got to be true, though. We'll hook you up to the lie detector on the phone. If you have a dumb car story.
What's a dumb car story?
Well, I'll give you an example because I'll tell you what happened to me. By the way, the number is 312-981-7200. I was out this morning doing a little shoveling, and I had a mug of hot tea with me, and I took it outside with me. So I'm sipping the hot tea, and then I put it down on...
You were sipping hot tea while shoveling?
No. I put it down. Wait, you got to switch to a decaf. Hang on. I was saying I put the mug down on... my car. I put it on the back, like on the back trunk where there was about like a foot of snow on it. But I just put the tea mug on the back of the car and then walked around to the area where I was shoveling. And I said to myself, now don't forget to grab that mug when you're done shoveling before you go in the house. So I shovel, and I realized about halfway to work today, I don't think I got that mug off the back of the car. So I think somewhere between the house and downtown, the mug flew off the back of the car. That is a dumb car story.
Why would you go out with a shovel in one hand and hot tea in the other to go shovel?
Well, because I wanted to
were you gonna stand there?
Stay warm. No, I figured I'd put it down somewhere while I was shoveling.
How about in the house?
Well, but I wanted to take it outside with me. I thought that was kind of, you know, cool, and it felt fun to do. Be sipping hot tea while I'm standing outside in this winter wonderland we've got here.
That's what you get.
One time I left a briefcase.
I remember
on
that.
The back of the car. You do?
Yep.
Did I tell you that story? Because that happened a long time ago.
Yeah, we were on Fox Thing in the morning, and you told that story.
How do you remember that? Are my stories that memorable?
Because I know everything you've ever said.
Yeah, I was working, I think that was way back. I was a kid. I was working at the Merchandise Mart. I was an NBC page, I think. Or maybe I was working in radio production at the time. Maybe that was it. Because why would I have a briefcase if I'm a page? Because we were just glorified gophers. We gave tours and answered the phones and so forth. I would have no need for a briefcase. Unless I was just trying to pretend to be important, which is possible. So it was probably when I was doing some writing for them over there back in around 1860. And I put the and I parked right around the Merchandise Mart, and I late at night, and I was carrying a lot of stuff, and I put the briefcase on the back of the trunk on the top again, and I pulled off, and then I realized it a couple blocks from the mart. And I sped back and got it, and it was still on the ground.
Hmm. So did you ruin anything?
No, I didn't. It was untouched, and I didn't run over it or anything like that.
Is there a lot of broken glass in our driveway today?
Well, I'm going to check when I get home. I don't know. I don't know what happened to that mug, but I forgot it.
Did we have a flat tire on the way in?
No, I don't think so.
Which mug was it? Was it one of those very sentimental ones?
No, I think it was, but it was one of those really good mugs that the kind diners use, you know, it's thick, you know what I mean? It's like a thick mug. Anyway, if you've got a dumb car story, I've got some auto show tickets for you, 312-981-7200. Nick, what's your story?
My name's Nick. Yes, I have a dumb car story for my son. He actually put oil down the dipstick tube instead of using the big spout on top of the oil cover.
Wait a minute. Run that by me again. What did he do?
He you know how you check the oil down the dipstick tube?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he was filling the crankcase up when he changed the oil. It says it takes forever, Dad.
Oh, you know, he tried to get it down that tiny little slot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, that is pretty bad. Well, I'm a pretty good mechanic myself, but wow.
That is dumb. Well, would you like to go to the auto show?
I love to.
How about a 4-pack of tickets?
Thank you, sir.
Hey, you can take your dumb son.
2014 Chicago Auto Show. We're going to be doing our show from McCormick Place on Monday from noon to 3. The auto show is open starting Saturday through the 17th. Nation's largest auto show. Over 1,000 vehicles on display. Something for everyone. And you can get complete details at chicagoautoshow.com. And why don't you show your son various crankcases and dipsticks at the show, Nick?
I certainly will. I certainly will, sir.
Hang on, and we'll
have
get
fun.
That information from you. So
thank you very much.
Get you those tickets. Yeah, I think a lot of people have done that.
I would not have known.
Not
otherwise.
Done that. A lot of people have left stuff on the car. I think that's dumb. You would have tried to fill up the car with oil through that little dipstick hole?
I would think that's where it goes.
What a dipstick. Bob Surratt, Marianne Murciano, and we're joined by Roosevelt University. Are you a professor of political science? Is that where you are?
I have a lot of titles, Bob. Just Paul Green will do.
Okay.
Trust me.
Hi, Paul. Let's talk a little bit about what we were talking to Carol Marine about here yesterday. The Dan Webb report that was made public about R.J. Vanecko and the death of David Kochman.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of trying to say to Carol yesterday, it's politics, the way it works in Chicago. It's clout, the way it's always worked here. It's favoritism, even when someone is not saying, do this for me. It's kind of understood. And how do you change that culture?
That's part of it. And I'll chat about that for a second. But what really interested me, remember when the lawyer for Vanecko said, you cannot release that Web report before because it might taint the trial?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know why. Because everyone was saying, oh, that Web report, that's going to show. It shows almost nothing. I mean,
well, it shows that Mayor Daley was aware of this, but did not get involved in trying to stop any investigation.
There's no smoking gun on anything.
Right.
It's, you know, and so we'll see. Maybe the Sun-Times may they are redecorating. Oh, ready for this one? Get ready. Mm-hmm. They are redecorating their office space with a lot of windmills because they are all becoming Don Quixote. They'll never give up.
Yeah, they're really on it.
You're talking, Bob, about is it possible to change the culture? And my question is, do people really want to change the culture?
The man was elected 6 times mayor, and whether or not it was by, now I'm, for the record, I spent 4 years teaching at the Chicago Police Academy many decades ago. And all I can say is, yes, there is, you don't have to be overt to know you're part of a team. And to be blunt, what's it in it for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to go on a limb that may be cut off and you may be in, you know, may have some trouble. But the reality is that it's still unsolved. I mean, we don't know what actually happened. You saw Carol and the Sun-Times folks on Chicago Tonight last night, and there are more questions than answers. But what really surprised me was that this Web report, 162 pages, and I don't know how much it costs, but nothing has changed.
You know, the thing that really struck me, I saw Chicago Tonight last night, and the Sun-Times reporters and Tim Novak, Chris Fusco, Dan...
I can't pronounce it.
Mihalopoulos.
Something like that.
Sorry, Dan. But anyway, they made a point that at some point, David Kochman's mom was finally visited by an investigator or police person and told, you're going to be impressed when you find out who this is. And then actually, and they kind of threw this line away and they didn't follow up. And then is this possible that someone told Mrs. Kochman that that your son deserved this? I mean, that was awful.
That sounds, well, I don't know. So I'm just saying, I'm guessing that sounds highly unlikely. Why would somebody do that? I mean, what? Forget everything about morality for a second, but why is it in the interest of the department or anybody for someone to say that? I mean, I just don't understand that at all. I mean, there's so much of this that's still a mystery, and it's over. I mean, the statute of limitations, now she may bring a civil suit, but again, there was no smoking gun in the Webb report, and there was a hell of a lot of money spent on that, and it didn't push the ball very far down the field.
Well, the Sun-Times is obviously going to keep running with
absolutely.
And then there might be more in terms of court action. We'll see.
Yeah.
Switching gears now a little bit. Paul, I don't know if you have the answer to this, but I personally can't get enough of the Sochi Olympics. And it is crazy. And today I see that the New York Post has this story about, it's titled "The Gross Hotels for Sochi Visitors." And as I was reading all these posts by people saying, you know, they're missing doorknobs,
yes.
the water that comes out of the faucet.
That lady
is
in the Tribune,
yellow.
In the front page, the yellow water.
Yeah, the yellow water. it seems like, you know, tile is off the walls and all this stuff. It reminds me of going to Havana a few years ago where it's the same exact thing. Like on the outside, it looks impressive, you know, and I stayed in a 5-star hotel, which I'm sure a lot of these hotels are. And then on the inside, it's unbelievable. Why can't Chicago get the Olympics?
Oh,
but
listen,
Sochi can.
Mayor Daley tried like hell, and we can someday go into that, how promises were, you know, international promises, and we just got outbought, and I'm not going any further. But that is really a great story. And Putin, of course, this is him. I mean, this is his thing.
He's got a lot on the line. By the way, the 5-star hotel in Havana was what, $38 a night? Was it that much?
No.
Was it more, really?
Of course it was.
A 5-star hotel in Havana?
Yeah.
Yes, it's expensive.
Oh, okay. I didn't think you paid a lot for anything there.
You pay the same prices that you do. You just make $20 a year. That's all.
Oh, right.
So that's
but
true.
But the things cost the same.
By the way, in 1988 at the Atlanta Democratic Convention, it was almost the same thing for the Illinois delegation. They will remember when the people were booking 2 and 3 people into a room, and you had to put a sign in front of your door, "This room occupied." But that thing in Sochi, that is...
Well, not only the rooms are horrible, but then the press that they're getting about... The last night I was watching Nightly, and you can, within like 1 minute of logging in, Richard Engel was hacked. I mean, everybody is getting hit. You can't even like go online when you get there. That's unbelievable.
Did you, Paul, see the Bill O'Reilly,
yes,
Barack Obama Super Bowl interview?
A lot more exciting than the game, yes.
Dana Milbank in the Washington Post said that in the 10-minute interview, by her count, Bill O'Reilly interrupted the president 42 times. Now, I didn't see this, but usually, of all those Fox commentators, usually Bill O'Reilly, to me, seems to be the smartest, most sensible, and he'll keep an open mind. What was your take on that interview?
I thought Obama, I think for the president, really enjoyed it. I mean, this was the kind of rough and tumble Chicago political style, and he just stonewalled him. I mean, he just didn't give him an inch. And then blame Fox News for keeping an issue alive. You just do it. You know, I'm. What are you going to do after I'm gone? And that kind of stuff. And he was just I think the word I'm looking for is shtick. He was just giving him shtick right back. There was no new ground broken. And it was just kind of sounded like a city council debate.
So Barack Obama, in your opinion, gave as much as he
absolutely
got.
And had that smile on his face. He looked happy. Put it like this. He looked happy.
Well, he knew what he was going to in for, right? Couldn't have been a surprise.
He wasn't talking to House Speaker Boehner or Majority Leader Cantor. I mean, he was just, pardon the expression, schmoozing around.
Right.
I think we're going to be hearing a lot about this story that has just come out about as Hillary Clinton is getting ready to possibly be in the White House in 2016, this bombshell new information comes out about President Bill Clinton having an affair with Elizabeth Hurley while in the White House.
Does it matter to the Hillary Clinton candidacy is what the what you wonder about.
Senator Rand Paul tried to mention that his with Monica Lewinsky.
Right.
I don't think it's certainly not helpful, but I don't think it hurts. It'll certainly make her more sympathetic to a lot of people, but we got a lot bigger problems.
And she's a victim.
Yeah.
But he's going to be back in the White House.
Well,
and this
that's true.
Apparently happened for a year while he was in the White House. Because I think you get away with a lot when you're in the White House. Right?
I don't know. I was on one tour and nothing happened. I'm on the record.
It'll be part of the campaign for sure.
Put it like this. The Republican Party is so afraid of Hillary Clinton. All these articles that she's almost become like there are vampires and she's the cross. I mean, I can't look at it. so they just dread it.
Yeah.
And so far she's playing it cool. The only thing she is doing now that's so much different than when she ran before, well, two things. One, she doesn't have a Barack Obama running against her yet, and I don't think there is one. But number two, she is running for the nomination, not for the general election. So she is going to be covering her left flank pretty much, starting with Mayor de Blasio. And in New York, who now calls himself the progressive. Mm-hmm. He was a progressive. Now the mayor of New York calls himself the progressive.
Mm-hmm. So. Finally, Paul, Republican governor rivals Rutherford and Rauner directly confronted each other for the first time Monday. This is all about the controversy over misconduct allegations by a state treasurer's office employee. Mm-hmm. Is this going to last as a campaign issue?
I hope not. We have real problems in the state. And again, almost like what we discussed before with the Van Echo case, I mean, part of it is incredulous that they would want to – if Rutherford has any truth in what he's saying, that someone's going to shake him down for $300,000, I've been around a long time, and there's a lot of hanky-panky going on, but boy, that's tough. That is tough. I just think it's a distraction, and I just think it really helps – Rauner a lot because whenever you don't discuss the front runner, whenever you don't define the front runner, and you have all these little side things, and the calendar keeps moving, the front runner just remains the front runner, and still he's the only one with the kind of money to go on the air. He is dominating the air wars.
Professor of politics from Roosevelt University, Paul Green, with the governor's race, the mayor coming up not too distant future, and then the presidential race on the horizon. You're going to be a busy guy in class for a while.
I'll be a busy man. And remember, just so everyone remembers this little adage: borrowing is not revenue; it's got to be paid back. And we are doing it at all levels. We're borrowing, and someone's going to pay it back. If not us. Children, grandchildren.
Yeah, it's no different for the state as it is for us.
Yeah, absolutely. When you borrow money, you got to pay it back. And now the city's going to do it, and they have to do it because there's just not enough money. And it's as simple as that.
Why don't you? I think the city council meeting may still be going on. Why don't you run over there and give him that adage?
Yeah. And that story about the guy with the two buses going in opposite directions, tied them. And that's what they make a wish with me. They're all worried about their reelection. You know, everyone. Last point, real quick. Rahm Emanuel, when he was running, said it best, and then he got away from it. Everyone's got to put skin in the game. No one could win by themselves. Everyone's got to lose a little. The voters, everybody doesn't want to lose.
Right.
So that's what we have. We have a situation where you're trying to find a win-win-win-win-win ending to a problem that requires sacrifice. And it's just never
good luck with that. Paul Green,
okay.
See you next week, Paul. Thank you. Let's give away a couple of Barry Gibb concert tickets, shall we?
Let's do it.
He is going to be touring in May, and he's coming to the United Center on Tuesday, May 27th, the Mythology Tour Live for Barry Gibb. And from the record collection at home, we have another Barry Gibb song snippet. And if you're the first person to correctly identify the song, we'll take just the title. That'll work. You get the tickets. 312-981-7200 is the number to call. You ready to listen to it?
Let's listen.
Here it is. Ooh.
That's a big clue.
Yeah, I think that I think that was easier than the one we had yesterday.
I think anytime you have lyrics that you can almost hear.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll find out.
Would you have known if you didn't already know?
You know what would happen to me? I would be very annoyed because it sounds so familiar and I wouldn't be able to place the title.
You would be asking me, how do you use Shazam? That's what you would be doing.
312-981-7200.
It's not long enough to use Shazam on.
We're going to get you healthy with our holistic doctor, Peter Van Uhl, at about 105 today. And we'll talk about quite a few things today, including, where are my notes here? I wanted to ask him about something I saw today. Flavonoids, lowering diabetes risk, and also maybe having a role in preventing heart disease. I want to know about flavonoids.
Oh, I thought you were saying having a role, like
Don't have a role. And then there was an interesting piece in the Tribune today about using the mind to help with healing. And it seems to me like Western medicine is moving closer to Eastern medicine.
In some ways, very slowly. I mean, but that I'm not sure because I didn't read that article, but that's what placebo experiments are all about. Because you have a placebo because you believe that you are getting the medication and then you get well a lot of times.
Well, we'll get into that.
Is that what that's about?
This is about really your state of mind and social isolation being as strong a risk factor as smoking. Things like that.
Okay, Bob.
What's on your list?
Your friend is not your microphone. Your friends are people.
I have to talk to real people?
Keep that in mind.
And what's at the top of your list of holistic topics?
I have a lot. Okay, first of all, I slipped and fell.
Oh,
people are slipping and falling.
Hitting the ground
all the time. Yeah. I want to hear what he says about that.
Yeah, he has a take on that, really?
Yes. And then also, the World Health Organization has some important cancer news. And I want to hear his, Dr. Van Uhl's take on that.
That'll be coming up after the news. And then we'll take your calls on that Barry Gibb song snippet. Let's play it one more time before we take a break. The number is 312-981-7200 for the Barry Gibb concert tickets. If you know the title of this song, good luck. Sarat and Marciano in the afternoon. And before we get to matters of health, why don't we fix your mental health if you're annoyed because you can't figure out what this song is. Let's see if we can give away the Barry Gibb tickets. Should we play the mystery song snippet one more time?
Let's play it to remind everybody.
All right, here it is. 312-981-7200. And Tim, you get one guess. What is that song?
Is it the song Emotion?
Let's check with our... listen to this, Tim. I've got something new. We have new special effects to go along with the contest. I'll show you how it works. Give your guess again.
Emotion.
That means you're wrong, Tim. Sorry.
Whoa.
No, thanks for calling.
Wow, that was... who are those people? Where are they?
I picked that up from Cousin Brucey, because when he does a contest like this, he has a buzzer and a bell. And I thought, let's do something like that.
Let's get Cousin Brucey on the show one day.
He's in New York. He works for Sirius XM, doesn't he? Hi, Nick. Your turn. What do you think it is?
Oh, me? Tragedy.
Tragedy. Okay. Is it Tragedy? Oh, man, that's a tough crowd, Nick, but good guess. Very good guess. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
All right, call us again. This is Mary trying to identify the song snippet and win Barry Gibb concert tickets. What is it, Mary? What's the song?
I think it's The Nights of Broadway.
That'd be Nights on Broadway. Is it Nights on Broadway?
I heard those people.
They started heckling Mary.
They started heckling her early on. The minute she said it.
Yeah. All right. Boy, these people are very rude.
Yeah,
sorry you had to go through that, Mary. Thanks for playing the game, though. Okay, Lynn, are you up to trying? This is you're going to put yourself in a tough spot here, but you ready to go? Lynn?
Sorry, didn't hear you. Yes, it's guilty.
What is it?
Guilty.
It is.
Oh. Hey, you know what? I think there's only like four people there heckling and cheering.
Well, we have a low budget here. We don't have Cousin Brucey's budget. Yes, it is guilty. Here's the way it sounds past that snippet, Lynn. Hold on and listen with us. Here we go. Play it right now, if you can, please.
And we got nothing to make it.
Yeah.
Wow, good ear, Lynn.
Yeah, that's Barbara Streisand and Barry Gibb, and a song that Barry Gibb wrote. Did you get it right away, Lynn?
Yeah, I'm a real big Bee Gees fan.
Okay, then you'll have fun at the concert. United Center, Tuesday, May 27th. You get two
tickets.
See Barry Gibb. Did you ever see the Bee Gees?
I did not.
You know,
so fun for you.
We emceed a concert featuring the Bee Gees at Old Washington Park back in the late 70s when I was on LS, and they were phenomenal. And it's kind of sad that they're all gone except for Barry, but he apparently does a very nice tribute. I don't think he sings any of the songs where he didn't sing lead, but they call it the Mythology Tour. So he'll be dipping into that bag of hits. So have a good time, Lynn. What are you doing on this snowy day?
I'm on my way to work.
Where do you work?
Xerox in Bolingbrook.
Oh, wow.
I'm one
so
of the
you
few-
can come in late then, right?
Yeah.
I'm one of the few people... Lynn, you don't have to be there till 3. You better leave now. I still say I'm going to Xerox something.
I am too.
Well, you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Hold on, and we'll get all the information from you.
Thank you.
I really like the way we'll do this again tomorrow. I like our new special effects, don't you?
I love them.
Yeah,
because
that
people.
That way I don't have to say you're right or you're wrong.
It's our live audience.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's get to some holistic medicine next. Joining us now from Integrated Holistic Healthcare in Wilmette, Dr. Peter Van Uhl. How you doing today, Doc?
Hi there.
Hello.
I think we should start off by talking about a subject that we see every day these days. People are bruised and battered because they're slipping and falling, and you probably see that too in your office, don't you?
Definitely. I had one day where the first patient who came in had a concussion falling on the back of her head, and the last patient of the day fell on her floor on the front and had a black eye. So, yeah, actually, it's better if it snows because you have more grip.
It's terrible. It happened to me, and it happened to Paul Green. He was in here a little while ago, and it's so unexpected because you don't see the black ice a lot of times. What should you do? Well, first of all, if you're falling, you can't do anything because the reaction time isn't fast enough. But what can you do afterwards?
Right. Well, actually, you know, they do have these. My wife actually got a pair of these. They do have. They look like. Spiral coils that you can kind of stretch over your shoes, and they give you a lot more grip on the ice. I forgot the exact name of them, but except they're like metal springs almost.
They're like chains for your tires.
Exactly, exactly.
Zactrax.
So, well, that's preventively, but once you have fallen, the thing is you don't want to try to, you know, do everything you can immediately to right away get up. I mean, obviously, unless you're in the middle of the street where there's traffic, but you kind of want to just, first of all, make an assessment of, you know, do I feel okay? Is everything, you know, is everything, just kind of gently move everything just to make sure that, you know, if there's any excruciating pain that you may have fractured something. But after you get up and get home to safety, you know, people often ask, you know, should I put heat on things? Should I put cold on things? Well, if it's small areas, you can put some ice on things that are a little swollen and inflamed. But generally, you want to stay warm, of course. And I always recommend that people take a homeopathic remedy called Arnica Montana in a 30C potency, because that will really quickly help to reduce swelling, bruising, and it will help to heal up the tissues. So especially for kids, this can be very beneficial, where you don't want to be giving them Tylenol and other medications that could be potentially dangerous to their liver and stuff. So Arnica Montana is a great remedy. There's also a homeopathic remedy called Traumil, which is, as the name implies, for any kind of trauma to the body. And, of course, obviously, you know, if there's any doubt, if an area becomes very swollen or if something is excruciatingly painful, you should get it checked out and perhaps get an X-ray or go to the emergency room.
Those homeopathic remedies that you mentioned, easily available at health stores, health food stores?
They are, but I've actually been seeing them more and more also at the local drugstores. The common drugstores have more and more of these remedies because people are asking for them, and they're very effective and very quite inexpensive. Yep.
Let's get to the World Health Organization and the new findings or reports on cancer.
Yeah, so the World Cancer Report from the International Agency for Research on Cancer, which is kind of an arm of the World Health Organization, came out with a report, and it's kind of recognized as an authoritative source for all the information on cancer globally around the world, and so from scientists from around the world. And, well, it's not really good news because the numbers are going up. I think it's Nixon who declared the war on cancer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Anyway, at this point, we're around 14 million new cases of cancer each year globally, which is projected to go up to 22 million cases over the next few decades. And they're really calling that somewhat of an epidemic. And also deaths from cancer are going up, which are now around 8.2 million projecting, of course, these numbers up to 13 million over the next few decades. So, the other main thing that came out of that was that the cost of treatment is spiraling out of control. And the third major conclusion was that prevention has mostly been neglected. So when you look at the most common cancers, number one is lung cancer, and then breast cancer, and then intestinal cancer, large intestine. And the three most common cancers from which people die are lung cancer, still number one, liver cancer, and stomach cancer. So I think there's a lot of focus, of course, on breast cancer, and in terms of large intestine, colonoscopies are probably doing a fairly good job at with detection and treatment. Although, again, in terms of survival rates, the survival rates are going up because of surgical techniques, but that doesn't mean less people aren't getting colon cancer. So, in any case, what these reports are talking about is, they're kind of saying that we need more early detection and screening and treatment availability in some of the developing countries. But despite all of that being available in the richest countries, the numbers are still going up.
Is part of the problem, part of the reason the numbers are going up, because many other countries are now able to afford to have junk food in their diets?
Well, one of the things that the report was also saying is that we cannot treat our way out of cancer. So, again, when you think about actually some of the screening tools like mammograms, they're looking into now the potential of the radiation from a mammogram can be carcinogenic. If you're getting the CT scans and such, too many X-rays, which can be used for screening, are actually carcinogenic in their own right. And then a lot of times when you talk about detection is great, but it's often too late. So in terms of survival, that can be helpful, but it doesn't do anything to the number of cases that come up. And so then you have also, in terms of the treatment, that, of course, they're talking about how expensive it is, but oftentimes the treatment is also very toxic in terms of the chemotherapies. So, the interesting part that also was mentioned in this report is that they're saying that half of all cancers could be avoided. And this is where, Marianne, what you're bringing up is that the main recommendations were, of course, or the main ways of this avoidance is through lifestyle modification, which includes diet, exercise, stress reduction. You know, we kind of all know these, which are not exclusive to cancer, of course. And then environmental factors and how we know how the interaction between the chemicals in our environment and our genome, our gene pool. There was an interesting article the other day about how they're looking at how pesticides interact with our genes to bring on Parkinson's. So if you have, you know, we used to kind of think, well, you have a gene for cancer, you'll get cancer. And really, everybody's got genes for all kinds of stuff, but it's looking at what's turning these genes on. And so, you know, there's people who feel that there's a neglect about the prevention. You know, in other words, there's a lot of attention to, you know, the cure for cancer, but really nothing much about understanding the biology of carcinogenesis. In other words, why are we getting this in the first place? You know, and so there's people who feel that there's really no financial empowerment to do this because the industries that profit from the treatment, the cancer centers, the research industries, the mammography places, the pharmaceuticals, really are, you know, they're doing good business. The industries that are polluting the environment, you know, the cars, the gasoline, the diesels that affect, you know, lung cancer is number one. You know, oil spills in the water. The water spills that we just encountered there in Virginia, or no, what was it, West Virginia, right? Mm-hmm. And air pollution. And then, you know, the industries that pollute our body. You know, we think about cigarettes. Sugar is becoming more and more implicated. Even in this study, they talked about sugar as being they line up sugar and sweetened beverages along with air pollution and environmental pollutants all in the same sentence.
It's scary, a lot to think about, and more to talk to Dr. Peter Van Uhl about from Integrated Holistic Healthcare in Wilmette. Always interesting to get your take on these health studies in the news. We'll get into flavonoids and what they are and how they can help avoid diabetes and even heart problems. Also, apparently low cholesterol could even be a problem these days. And then an interesting story today in the Tribune about using the mind to help with healing. That and more coming up after the news at 1:35. Bob Surratt and Marianne Merciano continuing our discussion with Dr. Peter Van Uhl from Integrated Holistic Healthcare in Wilmette. And, Doctor, I was looking at this report out of the UK, a new study about flavonoids, the chemical compounds found in colorful fruits and vegetables. And according to this study, the flavonoids can reduce the risk of having a heart attack and of developing type 2 diabetes. So does this mean, and this was a study of about 2,000 women of all ages, and the report found that the women who consumed the highest levels of two particular types of flavonoids, and you'll be able to pronounce these, but I can't, anthocyanins and flavones. Had the least insulin resistance and lowest levels of inflammation. What do you take from this study? And should women start consuming more berries, chocolates, and red wine and tea?
Which sounds pretty darn good to me.
Yeah. The thing we like to do as humans is we like to pick everything, especially in science, they like to, you know, pick out every little detail of what exactly it is in that apple that's so good, and then we're going to extract all that, put it in a pill, and take lots of it, right? So, of course, actually what we are finding is that all the fruits and vegetables, when you think of the word flavones or isoflavones, and they basically are what gives flavor to our fruits and vegetables, what gives smells and colors to our fruits and vegetables. They are the very substances that allow that fruit or vegetable to thrive in a wild environment where there's ants crawling around, there's worms, there's funguses and parasites and all kinds of substances that this fruit or plant basically has to protect itself from. So all those protective substances are in that really nutritious fruit or vegetable, and then also give us those same benefits. So definitely, but this is where, of course, the levels of these substances are much higher in, let's just say, wild-grown or, as we call it now, organically grown fruits and vegetables than they would be in things that, you know, substances and plants that are grown in a, let's just say, an artificial environment. You know, if they're being, you know, if they're getting, you know, their water supply every 2 hours and the same kind of substances to, let's just say, compost the earth with the ground that they're trying to get nutrients from, then the plant doesn't have to work so hard. And so that's why people say, oh, I don't like fruits and vegetables. They don't taste like anything anymore. They don't taste like they used to, you know, like tomatoes, for example. So it's partially that. And if you go to the farmer's market and you smell those tomatoes, it's because they're grown differently and they are much richer in these isoflavones and anthocyanins and quercetins and hesperidins and rutins and
But that's so prevalent. I am so tired of biting into an apple that doesn't taste like an apple, or slicing a tomato that does not taste like a tomato.
So what do you do? You buy organic. You're better off doing that. Is that what you're saying?
You buy A, organic, and B, as local as you can, because that means it's only been picked. It's been picked more recently and hasn't had time to degrade, and also it hasn't had that much time to, you know, because when they transport things, they sometimes have to treat or they have to pick them before they're ripe, and all those flavones aren't in there. Yeah. And then when you go to the store, Marianne, you pick up that tomato and you smell it first. And if it doesn't smell like anything, put it back, you know. But the other thing is, of course, we don't eat what's in season, do we? You know, we kind of have pineapple all year round when, of course, there's no pineapple anywhere close to here. I'm not saying people shouldn't eat pineapple, but I'm just saying we've gotten, you know, a little bit away from, you know, the only thing pretty much you can get in season are cherries. You know, everybody kind of knows that when the cherry season comes out, it's like, aha, we got 3 weeks to eat cherries and then it's done. But pretty much everything else, it seems like we can get all year round, and I'm sure we can get cherries, but, you know.
Eat what's in season.
You were going to talk about the dangers of low cholesterol. Talk about that.
Low cholesterol is bad for us now?
Everybody always talks about, my cholesterol, you know, cholesterol being too high is being an issue. But actually, there Dutch researchers found that men with chronically low cholesterol had increased rates of depression, because actually cholesterol is needed for the metabolism of serotonin. A Canadian study found that low cholesterol in men with low cholesterol had a 6 times higher risk of committing suicide, that there was a lot more violent behavior and aggression.
Both kinds of cholesterol, both your good and your bad, or as a
total cholesterol.
Total,
but and also the even the LDL cholesterol, which is, of course, the one that mostly is looked at. But these were total cholesterol analyses. So, but also in general, the problem then, of course, everybody knows that cholesterol is usually addressed with statins, is that in an analysis of 41,000 patients, they found that statins really cause an increased risk of cancer and Parkinson's. So now, this is all not really surprising if you understand what cholesterol does for and how it works. And so, you know, you might ask yourself, so what is low cholesterol? That would be technically, this will be a surprise to many people, anything below 150. So that's your total cholesterol. Anything below 150 is considered low. So now, of course, you know, most doctors don't want your cholesterol to be above 200, or some of them say not above 180. And of course, that range, that window becomes smaller and smaller, which means, you know, it's going to cause people to grab that medication much quicker. And so you might ask yourself, well, who determined these numbers? And so it turns out, at least in the most recent past, that in 2004, the National Cholesterol Education Program panel recommended that LDL should be below 100 milligrams. That's the quote-unquote bad cholesterol, right? Or 70, below 70 for high-risk cases. Now, I have full disclosure, 8 out of the 9 people on that panel also had ties to the pharmaceutical industry. And so actually in 06, a review board found that there was absolutely no evidence that an LDL of 130 milligrams was unhealthy. So, you know, the problem is that we're treating all these people with these supposed high cholesterols with statins, which are causing all kinds of problems. And So my recommendation for people who have questions, because I have lots of men kind of in that middle age range, you know, from 45 on, where they're saying, gee, my doctor wants to put me on statins, you know, because my cholesterol has gone up a little bit. And for same for women, is that you ask your doctor to say, well, can we take a little deeper look into the cholesterol? What kind of cholesterol do I have? Do I have a lot of the large particles or some of the small particles? Do I have a lot of the apolipoprotein A's or B's? Do I actually have inflammation, which will affect how that cholesterol starts functioning by checking your C-reactive proteins? And these are all tests that are done through regular, normal labs. These are not like any kind of quote-unquote holistic tests or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a lipoprotein fractionation panel, they call that.
So basically, if you ask for more tests to find out more about your cholesterol and what kind you have, this is something that any doctor would be aware of, and they have a simple test for.
It's a simple blood test. Now, whether or not any doctor would be aware of that, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, the specialist to go to would be a lipidologist, but not everybody needs to go quite that far, especially not if you don't really have a lot of history of heart disease and things like that. And, of course, you know, even getting an ultrasound of the carotid arteries and things like that can also be helpful to see if there's any plaque buildup. So if there's no plaque buildup, if there's no inflammation, and you do one of these more detailed tests and you find out that, gee, I have a lot of the larger particles that don't stick so much, maybe it's just a familial issue, and we all kind of have a tendency to have a little bit high cholesterol, or in both men and women, because of andropause and menopause, maybe your body is holding on to a little more cholesterol so we can use it to make estrogens with, to make testosterone with.
Well, I think the takeaway from this is if it's recommended that you go on a statin, ask around a little more, do a little more checking, do a little more research, a little more investigating. You must have been happy to read this piece today in the Tribune, and if you didn't read it yet, you will be happy about it, because it's a story about using the mind to help with healing. And the story focuses on cardiac illness increasing a person's risk of mental distress, and studies showing that mental ailments can exacerbate, even cause, poor heart health. Somebody over at Loyola University Medical Center in Maywood calling this a vicious circle. And this is the part I know is kind of music to your ears. This doctor saying we need to take a more integrative, holistic approach to assessing and managing and treating our patients. And that's kind of what you preach, isn't it?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, we come out of an era where I think we all kind of grew up with this idea that it's either in your mind or it's something real. You know, you can look, there it is, there's the disease. And, of course, there's no such thing. You know, you can't really separate the body and the mind. But definitely, we know that when there's an increased stress, that it increases certain stress hormones, especially cortisol in the body. Well, if you have too much cortisol or prolonged periods of excess cortisol, that makes you produce more sugar, which leads to more insulin, which leads to blood sugar problems. It increases your cholesterol. It increases your blood pressure. It decreases your immune response. It decreases your ability for wound healing. So in terms of obviously, the cardiac implications are for sure there, you know, obviously with the blood pressure aspect and cholesterol and insulin. But it's overall, using the mind and mindfulness, mindful eating, is definitely a way to help to decrease a lot of the hormones that are causing us problems in our body. Yes.
So, Marianne, let me ask you a question. What am I supposed to do tonight when we have about 7 pizzas in our house because our daughter's friends are coming over for a party celebrating their basketball victory? What am I supposed to do while I'm eating the pizza?
Don't ask me. I think you should just.
I would suggest that you take a look in the fridge and take out some of those nice red and green peppers that you have in there.
Yes.
And cut some of those up, put those on top of there, maybe a little bit of garlic possibly, maybe some olives, and put that on there on top of what's already there. And already you're going to be increasing your flavonoids and your anthocyanins, and then enjoy it as you're sitting down.
Oh, wow.
be grateful for the nurturance that the planet's giving.
Hey, Dr. Van Heul, right now, Bob is really loving you.
Oh, man, I can't wait to pig out on pizza and get healthy tonight. Always fascinating to hear your take on things. Integrated holistic healthcare in Wilmette is the place where we find Dr. Peter Van Heul. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bye. All right.
I'm feeling good because I am going to be ordering veggie pizzas tonight, so I'm healthy.
I think he meant, Dr. Van Heul meant, chop up some of those peppers and put olives.
Well, I was going to order a pizza with green pepper and a garlic.
Bob, you haven't
and
ordered
onion.
The pizzas yet?
No, I
this
will when I get home.
This is not a good thing. We're having a party tonight for the basketball team.
I know. Well, I'll do that when I get home.
The 8th grade
basketball team. Ordering pizza is not something I take lightly. I have to sit down and with the menu in front of me, think, count how many people there are, figure out how much pizza I want. And, you know, sometimes those girls can eat more than the boys.
Not I've at noticed this age. That.
No, not at 13?
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know what? You're right. Now that I think about it. They tend to be smart about their eating, whether they know it or not.
Hey, speaking of eating, did you hear about The Biggest Loser?
I saw you guys looking at a video today.
So this woman named Rachel won. Mm-hmm. She went from weighing 260 pounds to 105 pounds. So she lost a total of 155 pounds. And we're going to post a video of her on our Facebook page because you have to see it. It's unbelievable.
I don't watch that show, but I saw the clip you guys were watching in the office today. And the before and after is striking. The way they do it now, they have the video of the before. So it looks like she's walking right down that aisle next to herself the way she used to look.
Yes, Bob,
it's amazing.
It's computers. What can I tell you? Trick photography. What can I say?
Remember that saying? Trick photography.
Trick photography.
Well, it's pretty cool.
Anyway.
You got to see it. It's on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I saw it from far away, and you know, she looked, I kept saying, she looks really good. She looks great. And then I looked at it from really up close, and I can see what the whole controversy is about, because people are saying, she has crossed the line.
What do you mean?
She is way too skinny now.
Oh, really?
She's a size 2. I don't think there's. I don't know if she's too skinny, but
she's
a lot
20.
Of people
she's 24. She's 24 years old, and she lost 155 pounds.
And people are saying she doesn't even look like she's 24 years old anymore. I think she looks great, but I always wonder what goes into losing all that weight. I mean, is it just diet and exercise? Is there more? And I really, really hope she keeps a lot of it off, because that's a lot of work to go through. She lost 155 pounds. It's amazing.
So what does she weigh now? She lost more weight than
105.
105. She lost more than anybody else in the show's history, right?
Yeah, that's, I think I
wow.
It's really incredible.
So the controversy is it healthy?
Did she lose too much weight?
It didn't look to me like she looked too skinny, and I'm very sensitive to that. Speaking for all men, and again, I speak for all men.
Yeah, you have to look at it closely.
We don't like women to be too skinny.
Well, the thing is that when I saw it from far away, which is when you saw it also, she was wearing a dress. And then, but I've looked at other pictures of her a little bit closer, and she does look very, very thin. I mean, she really looks thin.
She's wearing a dress as opposed to what?
I mean, she's wearing a dress that was not that tight on her. So you couldn't really see. But anyway, congratulations to her, but I can understand why there's controversy.
Yeah.
I don't know how you can lose that much weight in such a short period of time without using something.
Well,
I don't know.
You need a doctor's guidance if you're going to lose that much weight in such a short time. We will get into this subject when we open up our Love Lab at 2:05. Four simple tricks to charming a woman. Guys, apparently there are four things we need to do that involve how we walk, among other things.
You need to run those by me. I'll let you know if it's true or not.
I will do that.
It's Love Lab music.
I'm trying to figure out this this study published in the Journal of Interpersonal Violence. Ever hear of that?
No. I don't know. Do we really? We want to do something from there on Love Lab?
Well, here's the connection. Self-assured people are less likely to be targeted. You've heard this before. How you walk down the street.
Yeah.
There is sort of a look of a victim and a look of someone who is not going to get hassled.
I know. I think about that all the time. When I'm walking around, I try to always look like I am going somewhere, like, do not bother me. And that's how I stop people on the street who are trying to sell me something or survey me
or
from talking to me.
Or perhaps worse. Headline here is, walk boldly and get noticed, four simple tricks to charming a woman. So apparently some of these same tips can work, guys. To help charm a woman, to approach women successfully, men must display confidence, even if they have none. The easiest way to accomplish this is through a confident walk. Women respond to an assertive masculine gait, which in turn leaves men feeling more confident. Is that true, Marianne? You respond to an assertive masculine gait?
I don't know. I never really thought about that.
Well, look out the window here in the Allstate Showcase studio and tell me which men you are attracted to as they walk by on Michigan Avenue.
What do you call the man who stomps around the house and is really, really loud walking up and down the stairs?
Bob. I noticed our daughter has a heavy foot, too. Have you noticed that?
She and I so many times are downstairs just marveling at where you are in the house. Because
we have thin floors.
No, we don't. You walk with a really heavy foot.
Additionally, it says here, a strong, self-assured walk keeps men safe. A recent study published in the Journal of Interpersonal Violence reported that how you carry yourself in public could make the difference when someone is deciding whether or not to target you. A hardened criminal is skilled at determining who seems to be lacking in confidence and who looks self-assured. Self-assured people are less likely to be targeted. So to help you get the ladies and also stave off criminals, check out these tips to walk boldly and get noticed. First of all, it says here, fake it until you make it. You don't need to feel confident to look confident. In fact, if you can merely appear to be confident, plenty of people will perceive you to be confident, which will in turn leave you feeling confident.
So wait, how do you fake looking confident? Do you like blow
relax,
up your chest?
Relax and let people believe you're as confident as you should feel.
Do you look down on people?
Well, just think and you will seem that way.
Okay.
Number two, pick a role model. Try to simply emulate a guy you feel encapsulates the utmost confidence. Well, here, this is the answer to your question. Think of Clint Eastwood, Christian Bale, or a James Bond. Any of the James Bonds.
Please, what? Do not walk around the house asking me for a martini, shaken, not stirred. I can't even imagine. Do you do that? Who do you admire?
My name is Surratt, Bob Surratt.
Who would be your role model?
Jackie Gleason. and as Ralph Cramden. Okay. Look at how these people walk that you emulate. With them in mind, go for a walk.
Please do not walk like Ralph Cramden around the house.
Even just a lap around the block will give you a feel for how something so simple can make a big difference.
So when I see you leaving the house tonight, mm-hmm. in the bitter cold mm-hmm. to walk around the block, I'll know you're practicing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if I want to attract women, I probably would think of somebody other than Gleason.
Who would you want to be your role model?
I saw George Clooney last night on Letterman. He'd be pretty good. I don't know how he walks, though, but I could imagine I'm George Clooney with that attitude.
Why are you trying to attract women?
Just for scientific purposes, research, so I can talk about it on the radio.
Okay.
Next, practice your posture. Imagine that there's a string pulling the crown of your head toward the sky and a giant magnet pulling your feet down into the earth. I've heard this before, actually. That's the way you're supposed to run. When I run, I think of that.
That's the way you do yoga.
Imagine there's a string pulling the crown of your head toward the sky and a giant magnet pulling your feet down into the earth. That's good because that will ensure good posture. Feel your spine expand as your head goes toward the ceiling. Make sure that your chin is parallel to the ground and that your gaze is forward. See, my problem is I tend to relax and hunch over when I'm seated.
Oh, is that your problem?
I don't sit up straight. I think I stand straight, though. Close your eyes. Remember what this feels like and do it whenever you need. Take another walk around the block. See how you feel. I'm going to be out tonight.
You're going to be walking a lot.
Yeah, I won't be home much tonight.
You know, when all the kids and their parents come over tonight for the party, yeah. I'm just going to say you're practicing your posture.
Yeah,
outside.
You can get all the kids to the kitchen window and say, there he is. Why? He comes by here once every 6.5 minutes. And finally here, meet her gaze, it says. Do not look away or look down. Instead, meet a person's gaze when in conversation. Then hold it, look up, and to the side. If you need some training wheels at first, dark or reflective sunglasses can help to get you practice. And so the point here is when somebody's talking to you, like when the opposite sex is conversing, hold their gaze.
Okay, let me ask you this. How did we even end up getting married? Because when I met you, one of the first issues that we had was that every time we would be talking, you would be looking at your watch.
Well, because I'm a top 40 disc jockey. I run a tight clock. I do. I had to see when it was time to run a sweep, which means I was just playing music past a certain point on the clock. Then there is weather, traffic, time, and temperature points I need to be aware of when I'm talking. So I had to know where I was on the clock at all times.
Yeah, uh-huh. So rather than meeting my gaze, you would be checking your watch.
Well,
and sometimes
sure.
You weren't wearing a watch.
I didn't want to hit the news late. This is interesting, though, because there have been times I have been in a conversation with a female, an attractive female, and because I'm basically shy, I look away. And then after the conversation, I'd think, I should have just continued to stare right in her eyes because that would have been exciting. But I'm too shy to do that. Next time I'm going to do that.
Warning. Next time, maybe I can. If you're a good-looking girl, warning. If he's looking
hey,
at you,
I might find somebody when I'm walking around the block tonight in circles. There seems to be some new depressing information coming out all the time regarding Philip Seymour Hoffman. And a very interesting post has surfaced. Was this something that Russell Brand said to a newspaper, or did he just put it on his Facebook page or tweet this? Where did this come from?
This is from The Guardian.
In the UK.
Yeah, and Russell Brand, well, do you remember when Amy Winehouse died?
Mm, I do. They were close.
They were close, and he wrote this amazing piece on Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, Russell Brand, he's wild, and he's way out there, but he is very, very smart.
Yeah,
he is. And he's had serious issues with drugs and alcohol in his life.
Right, that's what this whole thing is about. He is writing about his life without drugs. And one of the things that's so motivating for him is that the reason he keeps talking about this is because he says, you know, he's an addict and he'll always be an addict. And he feels really terrible that he didn't do more to help Amy Winehouse because he thinks that he could have helped her. And so he keeps writing about this, and he's doing a lot of really great things to bring awareness to it. And I love the way this story starts. Russell Brand has not used drugs for 10 years. He has a job, a house, a cat, good friends. But temptation is never far away. And he wants to help other addicts. But first, he wants us to feel compassion for those affected. And he writes here, he says, the last time I thought about taking heroin was yesterday. I received an inconvenient truth from a beautiful woman. It wasn't about climate change. I'm not that ecologically switched on. She told me she was pregnant and it wasn't mine. And that alone just made him, you know, want to go back into it. He says, he writes in this piece, it is 10 years since I used drugs or drank alcohol and my life has improved immeasurably. The price of this is constant vigilance because the disease of addiction is not rational. And he talks about, he was the subject of a documentary where he is watching himself smoking heroin because a friend of his had shot video of it some time ago, and he's looking at himself, and it's just so touching to see what he sees in himself. It's just amazing.
I hope that this goes viral, and we need
it. Has.
To, oh,
it's,
good.
It is because everywhere.
We'll post this on our Facebook page. It's the kind of thing that you want to get to anyone struggling with these demons. And because it's Russell Brand and because he is Russell Brand, his words mean a lot. And also because of his background and, you know, coming from him. I think he can do a lot of good. So I would hope this circulates widely and it gets read by people who are battling alcohol and drugs.
Yeah, it's a great piece. And it's not just for people who are battling, but it's for those around them. And to understand how incredibly hard this battle is, even when you've been off drugs or alcohol for a decade. It's still just as hard, and his advice is just don't pick it up today. Not don't worry about, I'm not going to drink for the rest of my life. Just worry about today.
One day at a time, because you are never, I think one of his points is you're never really over it. You never really have won the battle. You can win the battle of the day, and that's all you can do. Check it out on Facebook. Russell Brand, My Life Without Drugs. Yeah, I always liked Russell Brand. He's so fast and so funny and so smart, and he has had so many demons. And so far, so good with him. He's,
well, in light of what of Philip Seymour Hoffman's death, I mean, I think that it just makes us all stop and think. It's not because that death is any different from so many others that are a result of heroin addiction or any other addiction, but it's somebody whose name we know. We feel like we know these people because they're on the screen, they're in the movies. We feel like
his life is no more important or meaningful than anybody on the street right now.
But it makes us pay attention.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Yes, it is. Thank you, Bill. And yesterday, I'd say 90% of the stories that you reported from the Celebrity Report to the Nation anchor desk, Marianne, were on Entertainment Tonight and Access Hollywood later in the day and in the newspapers this morning.
I'm telling you, this is the place where we get the scoop.
Give your team a raise if you have a team. If not, get one.
My team is busily working on stuff.
All right.
Okay, Katie Holmes, is her new boyfriend Jamie Foxx? That's the rumor in the rumor mill.
Wait a minute, isn't Jamie Foxx married?
I hope not. I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
They have supposedly been dating since last summer. They were first spotted together dancing at a Hamptons gala. in August.
Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, her rep is still denying the story. And the craziness in the Woody Allen story will not go away.
Now so what?
Now, after Dylan Farrow's letter to the New York Times set the internet on fire, as she described the sexual molestation allegations against her father, Woody Allen, her brother, Moses Farrow, is coming to Woody Allen's defense. He's 36 years old now, by the way, and he says, "Of course Woody did not molest my sister. My mother drummed it into me to hate my father for tearing apart the family and sexually molesting my sister. And I hated him for her for years."
Wait a minute, stop.
Yeah.
He says, "I hated him
for her for years.
Okay.
I see now that this was a vengeful way to pay him back for falling in love with Soon-Yi." So,
interesting.
That's the latest.
That's Dylan Farrow's.
How does he know?
That's Dylan Farrow's older brother.
Yeah, he's okay. Older. How does he know, though? How does anybody know except Dylan Farrow and Woody Allen? I'm sickened by Woody Allen. I'm sorry. I know he makes great movies. I know you hate hearing it, but I'm like, it really is disgusting to me.
Look, who is telling the truth? Woody Allen's lawyer says that he doesn't believe Dylan Farrow is lying. He believes that she thinks she's telling the truth because Mia Farrow, in that ugly child custody battle, drummed it into her head when she was a small child that this happened, and she believes it really does. That's what Woody Allen's lawyer says.
So she thinks that he actually stuck his finger up her you-know-what, right? That's what's all over. Come on.
Couldn't we allude to that in a different way?
It's very specific. It's not. It's very different to just say
Gary,
molestation.
Gary.
Molestation. Okay.
Please.
She imagined it.
Can Gary Meyer begin before
she is
three?
Very explicit.
Like right now? Is Gary nearby? Can he start now?
Okay. Do you want to know how The Biggest Loser says she lost 155 pounds?
I'm afraid to ask for more information on any of your stories today.
Hey, you said we were the number one show. Here's what Rachel.
The Celebrity Report to the Nation is number one, I know. That's why we have families listening to us. That's why. We're like American Idol.
You don't want to say what happened. That's the problem. You don't want to talk about it. You just want to call it a very nebulous.
Look, I don't know. I mean, and I saw some editorial recently about separating one's art from one's personal life. The question being raised, can you appreciate Woody Allen for his tremendous talents as a filmmaker and still and be sickened by what happened, if it did happen? It's complicated. We're not sure what happened. Right?
Nobody's sure.
Right.
If it was somebody else, I think that you would be all over this, but it's Woody Allen and you like his movies.
Well, if it, a
that's the problem.
A popular celebrity does get a little bit of help on this, there's no question about it. If it was just, just Joe Smith out there, who works in a factory, he wouldn't have too many supporters. Yes, that's true. It shouldn't be that way, but that is true.
So do you really not believe it? Is that what it is?
I don't know. I heard Woody Allen's lawyer on the Today Show yesterday.
It's Woody Allen's lawyer.
I know. And you could say on the other side, well, this is Mia Farrow's representative.
But this is not Mia Farrow
Dylan.
Saying. This is the girl who is describing what happened to her.
I know.
Remember things that happened to me when I was 7.
I know.
And 5.
I do, too. And I also, and I know there are also things that you think happened to you because you've seen photographs, or it's possible, I'm saying. I don't know. I want to know. I want to know. It's troubling. It's very troubling.
You don't want to believe because you love Woody.
I don't want to believe because it would be awful if that's true. If that happened to anybody, that's terrible. Woody Allen aside.
All right. Do you want to know how this woman lost all this weight?
Yes, please.
Rachel Fredrickson, we were talking about her earlier. She lost 155 pounds. She used to weigh 260 pounds. Now she weighs 105. And she says that she planned ahead, cooking her meals, making sure she was ready for the week. And if her day was really busy, she would have a snack prepared and ready to go so she didn't have to take the quick fix. And eating five times a day. It's in the kitchen. That's where it all starts.
I can't think of anything other than what you said about 2 minutes ago. Sorry.
Okay, stop it.
What's the next story?
Elizabeth Hurley is slamming this Bill Clinton affair rumor, as she calls it. She says she did not have sexual relationships.
I did not have sexual relations with that
Bill
man.
Clinton. Yes. Because a new report surfaced today that she had a year-long affair with President Clinton.
When?
While he was in the White House. Huh. And she went on Twitter today and defended herself.
This is the actress,
saying,
Elizabeth Hurley?
Yes, saying that those rumors are silly and untrue. Ludicrously silly stories about me and Bill Clinton, she tweeted today. Totally untrue. In the hands of my lawyers. Yawn, she writes.
I tend to believe her. She probably, if it was true, she probably wouldn't say anything.
Oh, now you believe Elizabeth Hurley. Because you believe whatever you want to believe, and then
I have to believe something. I want to believe something. I think you want me to take a stand, don't you? Don't you?
No, I don't
okay.
think I do.
All right.
I don't know. I don't know if I do. Depends what your stand is.
Mm-hmm.
The NFL and CBS have announced that a coveted 8-game package will begin airing on CBS this fall, while those games will be simulcast on NFL, on the NFL Network.
Oh, I bet that's the Thursday night package, huh? Is that what CBS is going to get?
Yes, it's the Thursday night package.
Oh.
Yeah.
How about
valued
that?
At less than $300 million, according to sources. So that's big news.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you want to hear some Justin Bieber news?
Sure. Yeah, today I would welcome Justin Bieber news.
All right. So Bieber's jet, when he was flying from Canada to New Jersey for the Super Bowl.
He's got his own jet?
Yes.
Yeah. Air Bieber.
He was smoking so much pot on the plane that the pilots had to wear oxygen masks. Leave it to Bieber.
And that's the celebrity report to the nation for this afternoon. We'll be back to get your feedback. I can hardly wait. We'll open up the Serrata Murciano mailbox momentarily. Time to check on your messages via text, Facebook, email, carrier pigeon, and so forth. What are people telling us this afternoon, Marianne?
A lot. We were talking about the birds. By the way, for the last 3 hours, I've been looking out the windows here, and I see nothing but birds. What is with the birds today?
Well, they
more birds than I've ever seen.
They're flying south. These birds are from the North Shore. They're on the way.
Are they pigeons, the birds that we've been seeing out here?
I don't know. I haven't been looking out there.
I'm looking past you, beyond you.
I know
somebody
you
wrote in and said, just wanted to tell Bob and Marianne, we have 5 robins around our house in Streamwood for about 3 weeks now. So are the birds like confused or something?
Yeah, their GPSs are off.
We had so many, I cannot read them all, but so many, what did you call them, dumb car stories?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Want to hear a couple of them, a few of them?
Sure.
When I was about 17, the car battery was dead, so my dad was showing me how to jump it and went to and it went to ground and flames shot up. I knocked my father down trying to get away yelling, "Fire!" I cleaned that up.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, I left my purse on the roof of my car. It fell off when I turned the corner and some woman saw that, picked it up and chased me 6 miles to my son's school and gave it to me. More a dumb running late mom story. That's very funny. Dumb car story. My ex-brother-in-law power washed the engine compartment of the car that was a wedding gift.
Oops.
Nice.
Oops.
How about driving away from a gas station with the hose still in the car? Not once, but twice.
Yeah, people do that. People do that.
We were talking to Dr. Van Huel and about eating healthy and a lot of other things. And somebody wrote in and said, it's a very simple solution. Start by eliminating processed foods and sugars. Eat whole, real, recognizable foods. We have turned into a lazy nation. We need to cook more of our own foods, meals. We can't put the responsibility in the hands of restaurants to nourish us with healthy ingredients. We need to do our homework, take our health back into our own hands. And somebody else wrote in and said, Lou Malnati's in Tinley Park has a great veggie frozen pre-cooked deep dish pizza. That's music to your ears, Bob.
I like that.
We were talking about Rachel, the woman who lost 155 pounds on The Biggest Loser. Rachel is way too thin, somebody wrote. Somebody else said, there is no way to do that much weight loss in 12 weeks and be healthy. It isn't incredible. It's scary. And then there was this one. They have doctors, trainers, dietitians, and they live on a weight loss ranch. What more do you need? That's what I want. I want a weight loss ranch.
By the way, I guess this was a Facebook comment from Carlos with another dumb car story. While sitting in my office, I overheard my coworker saying she was putting kitty litter under her wheels to get traction but was still stuck. I asked her if she had front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. Turns out her car is front-wheel. And she was spreading the cat litter under the rear wheels. Not good.
Not good.
And David Bowman, by the way, commented on something Dr. Van Huel said. Remember, he was talking about those things you can put on your shoes? Yak Trax Walker Traction Cleats. That's what they are. Yak Trax Walker Traction Cleats for snow and ice. That's what the doctor was referring to. And David is our long-distance listener of the day because he is, I guess, listening on his computer or on his phone from Atlanta. So we are going to send something out to him that he will enjoy. Since he's in Atlanta, maybe we'll get him...
It's got to be warmer there than it is here. Well, maybe not.
How about a Carson's $50 gift card? He can probably order online and get them to ship something at ribs.com. $50 gift card to Carson's, America's number one barbecue. We'll send that out to you, David Bowman. Thank you.
And here's a text you will love. My cat likes your show. He is laying next to the radio in front of the speaker. I knew you would like that. And we were talking about what you need to do to be more healthy. Like, you need to be talking to people and having social relationships.
Yeah, they found that the more you engage with others, the healthier you will be.
Here's a text you'll like. We need to have an intervention with Bob. We need to tie him up and take him to a bar, pour a few beers down his pipe hole, and force him to talk to people.
Okay, but let's do it at Dairy Queen.